understand your reposal blessed sacrament just before the evening meal, and then re-expose as we have been doing in the evening with benediction. Our present meditation is on the lay apostolate, a joint cooperative of the Catholic Church. The lay apostolate, a joint cooperative of the Catholic Church. As you will gather, the emphasis which the Second Vatican Council places on the lay apostolate is so deep and so great for especially two reasons. One, that after 2,000 years, less than 1/5 of the human race is even professedly Christian. And the second reason, because the forces at work in the world, especially those exploiting the media of modern communication, are phenomenally, shall I say, demoniacally effective in doing just the opposite. Our first question, therefore, is, what is the role of Catholic societies and associations? There could not be a broader or more generic question. Every society, every association that calls itself Catholic, what should be its role? Says the Council, these societies and associations should consider training their members for the apostolate as a grave responsibility. Moreover, this training should be done with care and constancy in a way consistent with the nature and purpose of each organization. As I've said before and I repeat again, the understandable tendency of organized Catholic effort, and there are literally several thousand societies and associations professedly Catholic, even in our own country, not to say throughout the world. At the heart of the question and at the heart of the answer is the great responsibility of reaching out beyond the membership to individuals and societies and whole nations, proclaiming and promoting and advocating what we call the Kingdom of Christ. What are we in effect saying? As we began these exercises, so now, our focus is not only on the obvious need for our own coping with our failings, our sins, and obtaining from God the mercy that we so desperately need. Nor is it only that as followers of Christ, we want to follow Him the whole way. All of this is surely part of the purpose of every organized effort in the Catholic Church. The key here is reaching out beyond, not just ourselves, I repeat, as individuals, but beyond whatever associations or organizations the Church may have, for example, in our country. Shortly after I came to Detroit, I began going to an ophthalmologist for my eyes. It's about a mile and a half walk from my residence to the doctor's office. And I counted, just along that one street, in something over a mile distance, I counted 14 Protestant, call them churches, storefront places for worship. 14. In all, professedly, within the confines of the parish, Jesu parish. How we need to realize the duty we have, see, as parishes, people living within the territorial confines of a parish. Over the centuries, canon law has said the responsibility of each parish is not only for the professed Catholics within that parish, but for every soul within its territorial confines. We go on. How broad should be the scope of this training? Training of whom? Training of Catholics belonging to, well, societies, associations, parishes, dioceses. The Council's answer is it should be universal in its outreach, affecting every sector of life. It should include the professional and social sectors and not be confined within the precincts of any single association. It should literally involve every single lay person in the Church. I'll read what I have in front of me. I know this is the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church as expressed in the document. 30 years after the document was published. And I say to myself, Lord, what have we been doing? Are these just words? The duty we have Oh dear Lord, open our eyes. All kinds of organized effort and professedly Catholic, how much of it is, in the deepest Catholic sense, apostolic. Question. Should adults be trained for the lay apostolate? The retreat, obviously, is intended to please God, inspire and motivate. The training needs to be done. A few years ago, as I may have told some of you, I was to meet with a professional publisher in Prague. My parents were born in what is now Slovakia. Being already in the country, and since the liberation of the Slav countries from communist domination, I could enter the country. First time, and I'm sure the last time, I visited where my mother lived, where she was born, a small village, maybe 400 people. They survived the communist revolution. They kept their faith. Not a few died for their faith. Every person I met along the sidewalk, the standard greeting, "Praised be Jesus Christ," and the answer, "Now and forever, Amen." Daily Mass, church filled. How we need, dear Lord, how desperately we need to first of all preserve our faith. It's not only that you do not communicate what you don't have. It is, as we've been saying, to be a channel of grace. What we need, and that's the main purpose of this weekend spiritual exercises, to motivate us. I need it to work more zealously, more generously, to my dying breath, who spread the faith that God became man to teach us. Back to the question. Should adults be trained for the lay apostolate? Answer. Emphatically, yes. Their years of experience and growth in the faith make them particularly suitable for apostolic training. Their natural maturity, elevated by grace, provides a strong foundation for the apostolate. None of us knows. We trust. We hope. None of us knows just exactly when Christ calls us, how we hope, I repeat, how we trust that we shall meet our Lord the moment we leave time and enter eternity and be called by Him to enter either heaven immediately or a purgation of the steel, unremitted temporal punishment due for our past sins. We hope, we trust. This is in Revelation. Those who convert sinners assure themselves of their salvation. Unquote, sacred scripture. The very fact that we should be here, none of us has any doubt. And the question we've been answering simply reveal how well informed we are about the condition of our modern American society and the trials through which the Church of Christ is passing these days. But I repeat, we have a duty to share this treasure that we have with others, no matter what our age. We are being told we need to be engaged in the apostolate, and the Church speaks of training adults. Next question. What are the three basic forms of apostolic training? They are, first, training for the apostolate of evangelization and sanctification. Notice the distinction. It is not just to evangelize people. It is to both evangelize and sanctify people. Just to make absolutely sure, to include even the youngest, making the exercises. In the year 2096, May the 11th, you will all be in eternity. How grateful we shall be if, during the days still left us here on earth, we have, first, evangelized by proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ and sanctified by bringing people closer to the Master. And as we said from the beginning and will repeat until we close this weekend, it will be only as effective in proclaiming Christ through evangelization and sanctifying others as we ourselves are deeply, and I mean deeply, steeped in our faith. Deeply understand our faith. I think I should say it. Only God knows, say, during the coming week, from tomorrow, which is Sunday, through the week, through Saturday, how much reading we will have done collectively. Tens, hundreds of thousands of words. How much of that reading will have to do with the only truth that really matters? Remember the last time we have spent any time in reading sacred scriptures. Or the teachings of the Holy Father. Or the lives of the saints. I repeat, he'll be only as zealous to share the faith as our own faith is deep and strong. And you deepen your faith, which is the mind believing God's revelation. That's faith. You deepen your faith many ways, but especially through learning, deeply understanding what we believe. And the main single source is reading, using our eyes, and hearing by using our ears. The first rule, so we're told, in the lay apostolate, should be evangelization and sanctification. How much time do we spend in prayer each day? I've said it, I know, more than once in retreats we've had here at Bellarmine Hall. My students from outside the United States, especially from Asia, tell me they marvel, are inspired by the phenomenal freedom that you Americans have. But, no exception, among so many that I've asked the question, where do you find most, well, disappointing is how little you Americans pray. There is no other way of sanctifying others than of being men of prayer ourselves. Whatever decisions you make during these days of the retreat, I beg you, ask our Lord to give you the generosity of both increasing the amount and the depth and fervor of your prayer. I was embarrassed last night when Father Brown asked the question. And I have the card in front of me. I will not have read the question. How often do you go to confession? But having confessed that, I'll confess something else. Over the years, with God's grace, I try to average 3 hours a day in prayer. Besides my Mass and Divine Office. Oh, how busy we can be. how preoccupied we can be, how much talking we can do. In contrast with the amount of praying we do, I feel safe in saying to all of you, pardon me, to all of us, let's pray more and more fervently. Second level of training, given to us by our General Council of the Church. Training for the Christian renewal of the temporal order. Where do we begin? The laws of our nation, shall we still call them laws? And often with heavy penalties. Now this temporal order, that means the world of space and time in which we live. How this temple order needs, how desperately needs to be penetrated with the Spirit and teaching and the grace of Jesus Christ. Finally, training for works of Christian charity and mercy. This is all my 19th year in working with the Missionaries of Charity. Mother Teresa, by the way, is coming to the United States the last days of May. Over these 19 years, I've been teaching the Missionaries of Charity in more than one country. I see, and that I had never seen before, the desperate need of so many hungry people. So many people in need of medical care. You know one reason why some husbands and wives do not have more children is the cost. Unbelievable cost of delivering a child. And that's just, as you know, the beginning. Our political sphere is penetrated by those who they once believed in Christ, have not just lost, but rejected their faith. I've talked to people. What can I do? We're caught. No, we're not. If the Christians of the first century, mind you, Christian was born in a thoroughly pagan society. If those early Christians had not evangelized, well, you and I wouldn't be here. Of course, whatever I say is not just trivial, but meaningless, unless God gives you the grace. My prayer, to give you the grace of realizing the desperate need for the lay apostolate, and with resounding emphasis in our own once Christian United States. Question. What is distinctive about training for the apostolate of evangelization and sanctification, which of course is primary? Here we are told, the laity are to be specially trained to engage in dialogue with others, believers and unbelievers. The focus of this training should be to bring the message of Christ before the eyes of all people. I read these words, read big print to make sure that my poor eyes can read it. But I know human nature too well. Dialogue between Catholics and those who may not believe even in God, but surely not in the Catholic Church, and those who may believe in God or believe in Christ, engage them. The council uses the word dialogue, conversation, exchange of ideas. And this is where what we've been reading, about the collective effort needed in the lay apostolate today, comes especially into focus. As I've said more than once, I travel a great deal. I feel sometimes too much in one airport after another. All kinds of promoters of, you name it, what cult or bizarre religious organization. Only God knows what has happened. My favorite word is, we Catholics have been hypnotized. Hypnotized into immobility. Hypnotized into silence. Hypnotized into, well, keeping to ourselves, and as I've heard from childhood, two things you don't discuss with people unless you know them very well. That's politics and religion. Only God, I repeat, can inspire us with the grace to see that we've been given the true faith in order to share this faith with others. Next question. What is the single deepest need in his apostolic training? The laity must carefully study the teachings of the Catholic Church and understand what they believe. You might think we've heard this now at least five times so far. And I'm quoting directly from the council document. ours, as we know, our country is the most academically educated nation, not just in the world, but in human history. And yet, what an adversity, and yet, so many, and often in positions of great influence, professed a Catholic, have at most a child's understanding of their faith. Growing in our understanding of what we believe, as I've said before, either understand your faith or lose it. The council continues. They, that is the lay faithful, should be specially equipped to cope with the objections and difficulties raised against Catholic doctrine. The whole retreat, not for 3, but for 30 days, could be on what we've just read. If only these objections and difficulties raised against Catholic doctrine, if only they were raised by those who are not Catholic, who are notoriously even anti-Catholic. But as we all know, that's why we're here. So many, do I call it a flood of objections and difficulties, are being raised against the Catholic faith by those who still call themselves Catholics. What are we to do? We are told by the Church we should be specially equipped to cope with these objections and difficulties. Back in the 13th century, when St. Thomas Aquinas published his Summa Theologica, over 700 years ago, as I'm sure the most or all of you know, the Summa Theologica was simply a condensed form of the basic teachings of the Catholic Church. And St. Thomas begins the Summa by observing, this Summa is meant to provide just the basics of Catholicism. Then you go through one article of the Summa after another. Hear it. Every single entry of St. Thomas Aquinas in his Summa Theologica begins with objections raised. This is 13th century against Catholic doctrine. Then he provides rather condensed form what the Church teaches. Then he continues by answering one after another, responding, refuting these objections to the Catholic faith. Hear it over 700 years ago. I have talked to my own students and fellow Jesuits from Latin America over the years, taught many of them confreres on faculties on which I've taught. And they told me, of course, I'm asking, oh Lord, should I say it? They told me, these are Catholics from Latin America. Scratch a North American Catholic and you find a Protestant. Catholicism has been so deeply affected by the culture in which we live. Ecumenism, wonderful. A document on ecumenism by the same council. But I'm sure I've given you this distinction between ecumenists, remember the other, ecumeniacs. Who says you cannot be friendly and kind and loving with those who differ from you? Who says that by talking about your faith, asking them questions about what they believe, well, you better know what you believe. Whoever said this will be harmful to friendship? I'm sure I've said this sometime at one of our retreats. Over the years I've had the privilege of teaching in 6 Protestant seminaries within School of Theology here in Chicago. Bethany School of Theology here in Chicago. Seabury Weston, here in Chicago. And never once, I don't say, have to teach a 1 or 2 semester course in Protestantism. Never. Not even a single lecture. Never. On Protestantism. Always on the Catholic faith. All you can do is believe me. Hope you will. The non-Catholic world, including the non-Catholic Christian world, is hungry. I change the verb. They are starving for what we have. I mean that with all my heart. They are starving for the truth that God has so generously given to us. How you do it depends on 1,000 times 1,000 situations and circumstances. But that you do it is the will of God. Thank God, now almost 500 years, that many still professed Protestants have been, in greater or less measure, Catholicized. But it's not just Protestants. The human mind needs the truth. Otherwise, the mind dies. It starves to mental death. Back to the objections raised against the Catholic Church. I thought I'd wait towards the end of the retreat to bring about maybe 30 or so. It might be, you might be able to Xerox enough for all of you. These are tracts. They're just usually, four-page affairs. One of the men, because, believe me, what I'm telling you, I'm telling elsewhere too. Two men teamed up. One a professional cartoonist, and the other a professional writer. They've teamed up, put out these, call them tracts. Clever. Almost humorous. Always somebody is objecting to something which the Catholic Church teaches. And by the fourth page, you have a clever and very pointed answer.